There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Young reviewer, young minds, big ideas.
So Neil Gaiman says, Google can bring you back 100,000 answers. A librarian can bring you back the right one. If you think back to your childhood and the great books you read, there is a chance that they were recommended to you by a wonderful librarian. Bringing us back the right answer out of 100,000 this week is Mary Rose Grieve, beloved custodian of the Heartland International School Library. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I feel a little under pressure. I'm not sure I can bring you back the
You're
right answer.
You're a librarian. You're under incredible pressure every day of the week.
Yes, mostly from books, so that's a good one.
Yes.
A good pressure to have.
It's nearly back to school time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You excited?
Everyone's yes, quite excited. Most of my colleagues are at work today, so everyone's getting ready. Oh, Christmas seems a long way away.
Are you skiving today then?
A little bit.
It's all right, no one can hear you. You're only on live radio, it's fine. So what books are you looking forward to sharing with everybody when that school bell goes?
Oh, well, I'm expecting any minute now a whole load of new books to come from our secondary library we ordered last term. So there are lots and lots of new books that I'm going to get to unpack and share with people, which is brilliant. But I did discover one book over Christmas, which I read to my children, which they love, called The Legend of Rock, Paper and Scissors by Drew Daywalt. And it is the most wonderful. He wrote The Day the Crayons Came Home.
And Oliver Jeffers.
He did it with... So Oliver Jeffers illustrated his book.
Ah, okay.
And now he's got a different illustrator, but it's the most... It's just such a funny book. And it's ridiculous and crazy, and the boys loved it, and it made everyone laugh. So I'm definitely going to take that back into school tomorrow.
What age is that for?
Well, that's a picture book, but actually everyone laughed at it, even my dad.
I love picture books.
Yes, picture books are for everyone. I'm so passionate about that. You just don't need to stop reading picture books when you stop being seven. You can keep reading picture books when you're 14. They're so complicated and so full of loads of stuff that is really important. Lovely visual imagery. They're brilliant, amazing things. I love them.
My recommendation for a trilogy of picture books that you have to read as a grown-up, and also children will love as well, but, you know, I think picture books have to entertain adults as well, because obviously you've got to read them over and over again. To your children. And John Classen's I Want My Hat Back trilogy. It's basically a crime thriller, but suitable for two-year-olds.
Absolutely, but so much more for the adults.
Yeah. I could not agree more. John Classen, I went to his session last year for the Lit Fest. I'm so excited he's coming back this year. And he was so brilliant. It was one of the best ones I've seen. He was so clever, and he's so funny, and it's really... ironic, interesting stuff, and the children always get it, and they love it. I read one of the books to everyone from FS1 to Year 6. It was the middle one. I Want My Hat Back, and everyone loved it, and everyone found something different from it and something more complicated, and it's so subtle. And everyone sees it. They're brilliant, brilliant books. I can't wait to see them again this year.
If you do want to see him again, remember the dates for the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature are the 1st to the 10th of March, and you can go to emiratelitfest.com to find out more information. Tickets to his sessions are going on sale on the 10th of January for Foundation Friends and 15th for the general public. Now, you have a stack of books on the table in front of you, and there's one that I want to start with. It's been on all the kind of 2017 must-read lists. It's been nominated for all sorts of prizes, and it's called The Girl of Ink and Stars by Kieran Millward Hargrave. What did you think of this book? And take us through a little bit about what it's about.
I loved this book. I read her second one first. So I only read this one this week, and I read it in one go. So it was a pretty fast read. Actually, I should have spent much longer on it, because it's really rich and wonderfully atmospheric, and it's fantastical. It's set on a mystical island. Nothing is particularly real, but all the people are so real in it. And she has brilliant protagonists. She has two girls in both her books. It's a girl who is at the centre of it, who has had awful family tragedies. Both of them don't have mothers at some point or other, and they have very strong relationships with their father figure. They both go off on adventures in both of her books, but the adventure that she goes off on this one is just thrilling and scary and full of all sorts of myth and folklore and legend. It's magical. It's a magical book.
It really is. It's one that really kind of evokes curiosity and makes you want to think more about the island, the places that she creates and the characters that she brings to life, I think. And she writes it's beautifully rich poetic language. I know she's a poet as well.
Yeah.
But it leads into, it's perfectly placed and worked for children of the right age.
Yeah, and wonderful things about map making too, which is always really exciting to read.
Yeah, the cartography is fantastic. Yeah. Our guest in the studio, I'll introduce with that wonderful Neil Gaiman quote again. Google can bring you back 100,000 answers. A librarian can bring you back the right one. We have Mary Rose Grieve from Hutland International School. She's school librarian there. And she's taking us through some really wonderful children's books. We've already talked about how much we love picture books. And we're talking now about The Girl of Ink and Stars by Kieran Millward Hargrave. Now, we've talked passionately about it, but I think now we're going to hand it over to the author because she's going to read a little bit from the book and tell us all why she loves the subject matter so very much.
Young reviewer, young minds, big ideas.
An island, a girl, maps, magic, an adventure, and a comedy chicken. The Girl of Ink and Stars is about Isabella Rios, who is the daughter of a map maker, and all she wants is to see the rest of her island. And she's got this real adventurous spirit, but she's never been able to do anything about it because her island is ruled by the governor and he won't let anyone see outside Gramera, which is the village that Isabella lives in. So what she does instead is she gets her dad to tell her stories and she goes on adventures around the village with her friend Lupe. But inside there's this deep, deep desire to just go out and see what the rest of the island holds. They say the day the governor arrived, the ravens did too. All the smaller birds flew backwards into the sea, and that is why there are no songbirds on Joya. Only huge, ragged ravens. I didn't really want to be a writer up until 4 years ago. All I wanted to do was read as many books as possible. And then I sort of started writing by accident, and now I can't imagine doing anything else. Isabella really desperately wants to believe in magic, but she's not really being given any evidence to see that it exists. She loves hearing her dad's stories and she desperately wants there to be something more to the world around her. Because she's so receptive to myths and so on, she's the one who spots all the clues and nobody else puts it together until it's far too late. Why did the songbirds leave Dar? I'd ask. Because they could, Isabella. And the wolves? The deer? Dar's face would darken. I hope that my readers will enjoy the characters, watching the characters grow. I'm hoping that they'll be excited by the world and the joy and landscape, and also be scared in parts. That would be good. Chose the title The Girl of Ink and Stars because I thought it was a good description of Isabella. You know, she's a dreamer. She does always think, have her head in the clouds, and she's always thinking, you know, what's beyond the horizon. I refused to say any more about the wolves and the backwards birds. But I kept asking until the day came when I found my own answers.
That was Kieran Millward Hargrave, the author of The Girl of Ink and Stars, talking about her book there. We need to move on now to The Island at the End of Everything, because that's the second book she's written. So if you are a fan of Kieran Millward Hargrave, there is more to read. But it's not a follow-up book, is it?
It's not a follow-up book. However, there are definite themes that run through both of them. This one is much more based in reality. The island at the end of everything is in the Philippines, and it was a leper colony, and it's based about something that actually happened and how and she heard the story and thought, this sounds like there must be a story to come out of this. But again, there's a girl. She goes on an adventure. She's courageous. She asks, things are asked of her that mean she really has to dig deep into all sorts of things. And she makes an unlikely friend. Those two characters it's very similar to that. So there are definite themes. And the butterflies, there's a little mention of the butterflies in The Ink and Stars, and they're very much part of The Island at the End of Everything. But it's much more set in reality, this one. We've had some children from school who've read it for the Reader's Cup, and of all of the four Reader's Cup books, this is the one they've loved the most. They've really responded to it, and it's opened up a whole load of questions about the Philippines and about real things that have happened. They didn't know anything about leprosy, for example. So they've really been able to go off and find out all sorts of other things. It's a lovely, lovely book. I found it incredibly sad. It's so poignant, and I think all of those feelings of loss and all of those other things, it really, I find it difficult to read at times, actually. I think the children didn't find it that. I think it's probably something to do with being old.
I think it's another of those books that works so well on different levels, and that the children will take away from it what works in their experience and what they can understand of it. And yeah, I agree, the sort of the depth of loss and sadness, which really tugs our heartstrings, perhaps. Yeah. They haven't had enough experience yet to know that.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful introduction to so many things about other parts of the world and other places and other histories that they really can benefit from reading.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend it. It's wonderful. I think she's got an amazing voice. Mm. And she just writes so beautifully. It's incredibly poetic and lovely, and the English is just rich and wonderful.
I think she draws you straight in right from the beginning, and it's just beautifully done.
They're lovely, really good books.
Moving to a slightly different style of book now, something a little bit crazier. We're going to talk about beetles. So why are we talking about beetles, of all things, on Talking of Books?
M.G. Leonard and her book Beetle Boy, which is also another Reader's Cup book, is just the most thrilling, wonderful, madcap, visual, exciting, almost filmic adventure about a little boy called Darkus Cuttle, who's on a search for his father, who's been kidnapped by a wicked lady who has funny things to do with beetles. And it's just such fun and so and brilliantly written, really fast-paced and incredibly visual. I think the children, we listened to it as an audiobook, actually.
We did,
and
too.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful
it?
Because it's told through Darkus's point of view most of the time, and she just captures this boy's voice and this boy's world. And he's a slightly unusual child. He's got had a very close relationship with his father, and he has this slightly different background. He's very inquisitive. He's very interested in the world, and so when a large beetle appears and essentially becomes his best friend, he doesn't really question it. He just sort of goes with it, and it's a wonderful adventure story.
Okay, this is happening now.
Yes, and he makes two rather unusual friends, and that trio, and it's so, there's, as you say, there's absolutely no questioning that it's quite normal to walk around with a huge beetle on your shoulder and to have conversations with it, and it feels so plausible. And certainly all the children I've read or who have read that have all said, we want to have a beetle as a pet. And it just feels completely normal.
Yeah. And M.G. Leonard sets up the mystery really well. So you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's coming. You have all sorts of guesses on who this beetle is and where the children are going with it. And it's a brilliant adventure story.
Two things there. One, I think she does an amazing job of coming up with the most creative names for her characters. So Darkus Cuttle for the boy, and Lucretia Cutter for the villain. I mean, just perfect villain names. I would like her to write a Bond novel. I think she'd do an amazing job. Secondly, what you said there about everybody's going, oh, I want a beetle now, that's exactly what she wanted to happen, because she used to be really terrified of creepy crawlies and beetles, and now she isn't. And I think you need to hear M.G. Leonard talk about beetles, because she's so passionate about it. And I am convinced that once you hear her speak, you will want to go out and get a pet beetle for yourself. Here she is.
Beetles are possibly the most staggering creature on the planet. They are the most prolific species. They come in every single colour and size. They're like superheroes. They've got different skills. Some of them can shoot acid out of their butts. Some of them can lift heavy weights. Some of them can fly, some of them can burrow, some of them can chew through concrete. And I suddenly thought, I want to write a story about these amazing insects so that other people understand how amazing they are too. Darkus looked down. The giant insect was sitting right at his feet. And before he could think about whether it was a good idea or not, he was reaching down to touch the tip of its horn. It was sharp. Whoa, you're cool, he said, feeling his heart thumping in his chest. Mesmerised, Darkus watched the beetle scramble up from the road onto the pavement, its body glistening like wet oil. The main beetle in Beetle Boy is a rhinoceros beetle called Baxter. He's a Calcus soma, and you can tell he's a rhinoceros beetle because of this really prominent horn with a sharp spike and these two tusks on its thorax. My fear of insects was an important part of the writing process, trying to describe a beetle in a way that made it friendly and warm and beautiful.
That was M.G. Leonard talking about her books Beetle Boy, Beetle Queen, and there's a third one in the series coming out, I think, this year in March, I think. called Battle of the Beatles. She's actually speaking at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. Can you tell us a little bit about when?
MG Leonard's going to be doing a session on Beetle Boy in the series of books, and it's going to be Saturday the 3rd of March from 4 till 5pm, and tickets are already on sale.
There you go. So you don't have to even wait for the 10th of January for those ones. You can get them right now, like right this second. Except if you're driving, don't do that. Don't. And remember, you can text into 4001 at any time, except if you're driving, don't do that. Restating that again. So we just talked about Beetle Boy by MG Leonard. We've talked about The Girl of Ink and Stars by Kieran Millwood Hargrave, and her second book, The Island at the End of Everything, as well. All of those authors, both those authors, are actually on sale already at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature website, which is emiratesliterfest.com, by the way. And we now need to talk about something which we're very passionate about, which is picture books. We've got time to talk about one more picture book. It's a very famous series of picture books, isn't it?
Winnie the Witch.
Who hasn't heard of Winnie the Witch?
Winnie the Witch.
I have. Corky Paul came to school 2 years ago, and he did drawings with each year group, and they went up to see him. And behind my desk, I've got his Winnie the Witch that he did at school in a frame. So every morning, she greets me as I come in. Watching him draw the pictures was the most amazing thing. The children were completely mesmerized by it. There's something about he just gets his pen, and in a flash he just, and then there suddenly she is, the wonderful Winnie the Witch, who's just crazy and mad with her cat Wilbur, and they go on such amazing adventures. And there are, I think, 15 books, amazing picture books, and then the little short skinny chapter books, which the children all love. His pictures are so amazing because they're so detailed and there's so much to look at. You could spend 10 minutes just looking at a page because the tiny little visual jokes he puts in, and they're incredibly detailed and such fun to look at. They're amazing.
Do you know how many copies they've sold of Oxford University Press of Winnie the Witch series?
No, how many?
Over 5 million.
That's brilliant.
Really?
Over 5 million copies have been sold. That's amazing. Yeah.
But, the appeal of a witch and a slightly madcap witch, mm-hmm. who always gets things wrong is just, you know, there are many of them in literature, and everyone, and Winnie is a particularly brilliant one for young children, yeah. because she's so...
My favourite one for slightly older children was always the Worst Witch series.
Oh, I love the Worst.
I can't remember who wrote that series.
Jill Murphy,
that was it. Yes, sorry, it was really annoying me. If you want to win a copy of Beetle Boy, by the way, there is a way you can do that. So I have a competition question for you. So there are over 300,000 species of beetle in the world. True or false? Text your name and the answer to 4001 for a chance to win a copy of Beetle Boy by M.G. Leonard. So we've talked about The Girl of Ink and Stars by Kieran Millwood Hargrave, The Island at the End of Everything, also by Kieran Millwood Hargrave, Beetle Boy. Beetle Queen we haven't talked about. Have either of you read the sequel to it?
No,
not yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
So we need to read that one, and then the third one's coming out very shortly. And Corky Paul, so all the Winnie the Witch books. There's quite a few to get through, though. We've said like 15?
Yes, I think at least. But then there are all sorts of other books that he's done as well that aren't Winnie the Witch, mm. that are just as fun to look at and exciting to read. I'm trying to think, one of them's called The Fish You Can't Wish, which is... great one, rhyming one, and lovely illustrations again. He's amazing.
So what is it for anybody who hasn't picked up a Winnie the Witch book? I mean, is she a clumsy witch? Why does she keep getting everything wrong?
She's so well-meaning and so kind, and yet and goes on wonderful adventures, but is just full of the joys of life, and therefore never quite thinks things any further forward than about the next 2 minutes. And her cat Wilbur is constantly rolling his eyes and putting his hands over his ears, thinking, oh, what's she going to do next?
I feel an affinity with Winnie. I really do.
So do I. And it's that partnership between the two of them, isn't it, that's also so delightful.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Rose. That's about all we have time for, to go through that book pile. Thank saves us stacking up the pile too high, as was our New Year's resolution, not to do that too much.
Yes, and by the way, on those New Year's resolutions, that one, there was one that said that you would shed £20 from your shelves. Never, ever throw a book away, unless you're a librarian and you need to weed. But when you have your own books, no thanks. Keep them forever.
The answer is more bookshelves.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Bigger house.
Trip to IKEA. Thank you so much, Mary Rose.
Thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure having you on.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.